going to read three different places that have got a thought on my mind today. This started maybe yesterday, but talking about that line, I work with a fella, and he used to work for his uncle, which sold used cars on the side, and he said, he worked for his uncle, and he said, I never bought a car off of him because I knew you couldn't trust him. And well, apparently, this was about 15 years ago. He said that I knew that he would hook you. He said, but I never realized that he was making a lot more money on them cars than I thought, because he just here recently got busted for having a bunch of stolen motor, and I guess he had some car titles soaking in not lacquer thinner, but I didn't realize, but I guess they soaked in car titles and some kind of a solvent. And when they busted him, they went in his office and they had car titles and saw it. And he said, well, I was just kind of wondering what it do to him. And but anyway, I said all that to say, you know, that that Satan, he takes us farther than we'd ever want to go. Glenn Blue's father is just brokenhearted. This is his little brother that's got busted. And you know, they knew he was dishonest, but they didn't realize that he was a thief, that he's got eight different charges, felony charges against him. And he come to his brother after several months of the rumors, you know, what's going to happen to him. He knocked on the door and he said, well, will you let a criminal in your house? And they welcomed him in. And what he said that was very interesting is he said, I wish they'd have caught me 20 years ago. I thought that was interesting that, you know, most people I would think would say, I wish I'd quit doing that 20 years ago. But the man's 65, somewhere around there. And I guess by what he meant by that is that he wished that, I guess he figured he's going to do some kind of stint in prison, you know, maybe 8 or 10 years. And maybe he thought, if I got caught back when I was 45, I'd get out of prison. But I guess this man's looking at, he could have an 8-10 year sentence and die in prison. But you know, it just Blue said, you know, he said he was set up. He said he come in and told his brother that he was set up, but before it was all over with, he was leaving. He said they didn't find everything. So you know, unfortunately, that's the way some people are. They'll just lie out of one side of their mouth and then tell on themselves down the other side. And the older you get, you know, some of us are getting forgetful. And can you imagine being a dishonest person? You just wouldn't know what story you told. Some of the things that had been said were going kind of, we was thinking about what an honor and a privilege to be able to pray. We was listening to our MP3 player, and there was this one song that was talking about that we have the attention of our Lord when we pray. And I was thinking about, you know, that the Lord has given us His holy word, and that we could liken it, and this is a terrible analogy, but we'll try to put it in the context of some. With our president as of today, if I got a personal phone call from the White House, I wouldn't be near as excited as if it was somebody else. But anyhow, can you imagine that the president's just in the next room, and somebody, I'm sure there's staffers all over, and the Secret Service and whatnot. Can you imagine if they come to you in the next room and they said, the president has something to tell you. And then you just continue to sit there. And then a little bit later, they would come back and they said, excuse me, Darrell Hensley, the president of the United States has got something he wants to tell you. And I continue to sit there. You know, that's how it is. But greater so, when we sit there in our house, where we're in the backyard or wherever we might be, and it comes to our mind,
that we ought to read God's Word. Because this is a letter from God Almighty Himself to His people. But now can you imagine? You know, Darrell would probably think if a staffer come to him and said, the president wants to talk to you, I might think, oh no. Maybe he's heard some things that was on the internet. Maybe he's going to tell me how I ought to get behind him on this national health care. Or maybe he's going to try to tell me that I ought to support these equal rights and this fairness doctrine. I would not be so very interested, maybe, in hearing what he has to say. But now listen, and I think about it for a minute. And that staffer would come to me and says, the president wants to ask you what you think on this or that. But see, that'd be different. Because then now the president don't want to just tell me something, but he's wanting me, or he's rather wanting to listen to me. And I look now just for a moment. We've got God's Holy Word, and we're blessed with it. And it's Him communicating His will to us. But then the wonderful gift of prayer is that we have the ability to bow our knees before God and have His attention. We were talking about it maybe Sunday night, about the song Sweet Hour of Prayer. Well, that song was wrote because somebody at some point, that it was a common thing to spend an hour in prayer. Can you imagine how some people would feel so special if they had an hour's attention of the President of the United States, for that matter, that they would have the attention of the President of India or Haiti. But we hear he's homeless tonight. I don't know about you. I was watching the news. It looks like the President's house up down there in Haiti was nicer than in the White House. But yet it has just collapsed. They said the President of their own country was homeless that night. And I thought that that showed you the great poverty of that country. Between its rulers and the man on the street. Because so many of those in Port-au-Prince live in tin shacks. And here he had a house nicer than the White House that our president lives in. But it's no more. And though there might be distances between the rulers of this world and the common man, Jesus Christ come, so that that gulf that was between the common man and God Almighty might be bridged. We heard it this yesterday, and Darrell has a way of offending people if he ain't careful. He was listening on the talk radio, and this fella called up, and he identified himself as a gay male Christian. He said, I grew up in a Christian home, and I thought to myself, words just don't mean nothing anymore. I'm just waiting for the day where they come out with the Christian Cannibal Society, or the Christian Rapist Association. But praise be to God that when Jesus Christ come, he said that if you want to turn there, you can turn there. In Matthew, it says, blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. It's the 5th chapter of the 6th verse. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Then it goes on to say, when he was talking in John to his disciples right before his crucifixion, it says here, in the 16th chapter of John, the 33rd verse, it says, these things I have spoken unto you, that you might have peace. In the world world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is a promise that each and every one of us, if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled.
Amen.
I'm afraid today it's because of man's ignorance that we don't realize what we have in the as a Christian in the arsenal of God, that we have the attention of all of heaven when we bow our knee and pray, and that if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. This gentleman on the radio, he said people need to understand that so many churches are turning away the homosexuals, and he said Jesus loves them just like they are. That he didn't come to change people. Now listen. That he didn't come to change people. But he accepted them just as they are. Oh, I don't know what Bible he's reading, brother. But Jesus Christ come not to condemn. But he come to transform. He didn't come to shake his finger, but he come to reach out his hand, and he died so that we might have life.
Amen.
And he go up on this earth, and all the time he drew a line. How we know that the Bible says so many times when he touched those, this is what I like about my Jesus, when he toured or when he walked through a city, has some pretty important people. I hear Hillary Clinton. I don't know why she's in Hawaii. Maybe our president's back there. But they said she was in Hawaii. And she was going to cancel her trip to Australia and go to Haiti to walk through those streets. No doubt, and to see the devastation and to communicate to that small little country that we're going to support them. But you know, really, all she can do is make promises, and all she can do is hope that there is somebody behind her that's going to keep on. But what I like about Jesus is that he walked through the streets. He didn't look at the cripples and say, you know, I really like crippled people. So humble. He didn't walk through the streets and look at the blind man and say, I really enjoy being in the presence of blind people. They're such good listeners. But he come and he got them live. He come to the blind man and he returned and he restored his sight. I don't believe it's anywhere in the four gospels that he ever told a blind man after he touched his eyes to follow him. You know why? Because the blind were used to following people. They spent their whole life holding on to somebody. The Lord had prepared him already to be a good Christian. But I like what he says to the crippled man when he's restored him. His legs getting strength. What did he say? He said, pick up your bed and follow me.
Amen.
And that's what he wants each and every one of us to do today. And he come and he overcome of the world. What does the world say? And the world introduces themselves as homosexual. But what is it, gay male Christians? I always hear people talk about, well, I've been a Christian for 20 years, and I'm an alcoholic. Well, you know, I know that there's people that's got demons in their closets. Have you ever heard that figure of speech? Some people say they've got skeletons in their closet. Well, you know, I like that the Bible addresses both of them. Way back there in the Old Testament, the Bible speaks about a vision, and the prophet speaks about the bone one bone joining another bone, and until these hill of bones become an army. You know what? If you got skeletons in your closet, I serve a God. I can take up them bones and make them walk right out of your life. Listen, if you've got demons that you're afraid of, I serve a God that will deliver. He did that for the man named Legion. He didn't walk through the tombs. Now listen, though there might be politicians today that would be so ignorant as to say as what we've already said, that I like being in the presence of blind people because they're such good listeners. Or amongst the Christians, they don't use the word cripple no more. But the physically challenged, the closest to humble. But listen, there's nobody that's ever politician. I don't care how ignorant. I don't care which party that's ever said. I like being in the presence of the demonic. Why? Because those that are tormented by evil spirits, their parents can't even dwell with them, as it were with the man that dwelt amongst the tombs. What was Jesus doing there in a cemetery? He wanted to speak to a man. He wanted to set a man free from what had him bound. And when he met him, he changed that man's life. Why? Because he had overcome the world. What purpose did it serve? And that Jesus Christ come and die. Did he come and die so that we might stay as we are? But he come and walked on this earth to show mankind that he was a righteous and a holy God, and that he will deliver us. You know, you can appeal to someone greater. You know, they say that through Alcoholics Anonymous that you can be amongst your peers, that you can find strength talking with those who have overcome. Them sharing with you how that they were bound by alcoholism, but now they are free. And that gives someone not only encouragement, but it gives them the understanding that they too can overcome. Listen, I think it'd be a good thing, don't you, that if a person was an alcoholic, that he would find other peers, that they could have some kind of intervention and to share with them what has happened to them. I know one thing that's very important within that process is to recognize that there is someone higher than you. And to a lot of people, they turn to God. And I would have to say that the most successful has had to turn to the one that is an overcomer. That we can appeal to Jesus Christ, and we know that he has faced those things that we face today, and he overcome. We know that he knows exactly where we're at, and that he hears us. What a wonderful privilege. Well, the Bible says, if you'd want to turn there in James, the fourth chapter, it says, and the second verse, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Ye ask and receive not. The first says, ye have not because ye ask not. Then you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. You know, Satan was quite content. And Eve, when he came to her in the garden,
He didn't use the argument that he uses with a lot of people today. He didn't come to Eve and say, hey, guess what? God's not real. You know why? Because God walked with Adam and Eve in the garden. But he was quite content to tell her a portion of truth followed up with a lie. He was quite content for Eve just to simply think a little less of God. That God somehow was trying to keep something good from Adam and Eve. But somehow that she knew better than the Lord. You know, today, there's a lot of people. You couldn't, if you filled my 16 passionate brain up with all the books that's wrote by atheists emphatically denying the existence of God and in their feeble mind thinking that they can prove it, that my van would not begin to hold all those books. And Satan's quite successful in making that argument to those that would want to believe there is no God. But he's all the same quite content with thinking or letting people think that the God we serve is a God that loves us just as we are and did not come to change us. I thought about this one feller on the radio. I listened to him and I thought, how sad. For him, it brought him comfort, didn't it? It brought him comfort to think that I don't have to change. That I can consider myself to be a Christian and I can continue to live on what the Bible has termed to be an abomination. But what of the alcoholic? How sad is it to declare to those that are bound and sin that will destroy everything that they love, to come to them and say, Jesus loves you as you are, and he wants you to know that. You know what? We need to speak the whole gospel and to tell them, Jesus loves you, and because he loves you, he sent his only begotten Son. And guess what? He loves you too much to leave you where you are. And this is where the ball's been dropped. We live in a culture today that God is nothing more than love. How shallow. How one-dimensional. Not only is God a God of love. You know, we live in a world where religion is self-centered. It's all about me. Just flip through the channels on Sunday morning if you would be snowed in. And listen to what the televangelist is telling people. It's all about you. But guess what? It's not about me. It's not about you. But it's about God. He is Lord and Master. And if we are to be His servants, we will place Him in that position. Poor phrasing of words. He is in that position. We will acknowledge Him for that. But with that being said, God being a holy and a righteous God, God has to change us in order that we might have a relationship with Him. And there is, I think, where it first started, where people kind of got on this self-centered religion. Oh, you just pray to the Lord. He'll give you what you want. But you know, the Bible tells us that we are to pray God's will be done. And that's what's wonderful. I can pray to the Lord and I know not only, there's no question in my mind that He hears me. Sometimes I feel as if my prayers might go unanswered because I'm not seeing things as I think they need to be. But if I have His attention, and He's hearing me, we can rest assured that He will answer our prayers. Maybe not as we would see fit, but He will answer them all the same. You know, when we ask the Lord for something, and because He don't say yes, it's not mean He has not answered our prayer. No is an answer too, isn't it? But if it's about me, well then, the Lord has failed me. But if our worship is about Him, then we can rejoice in the simple fact that we have the ear of the Most High God. And that Daryl struggles over things at times because Daryl is ignorant of the fact that I have not because I ask not. Somebody, maybe in Daryl's life, whispered to him and said, as it's been said here, that all people lie. Listen, if you're a liar and you're struggling with it, first and foremost, if somebody comes to you and tells you that all people lie, don't believe a word they say. Because what they're speaking about is their own character. And if all people lie, could you trust them that they were telling the truth? That's a vicious circle that you just keep going around and around about. But you know what? That speaks of their character. You know, I've heard, we mentioned this Sunday night, I'll say it again. There's some women that says all men cheat. You know what? That's not true. But that says a lot about that person that would make that statement, doesn't it? About the relationships and the experiences she's had. But if you get a man to say that, once again, he's telling you something about him. But the Lord came to deliver us. And when we hear the lies that Satan speaks, and even some of the lies that Satan has spoken, and church-going folk perpetuate over and over and over, and don't realize that God will set us free from those chains of bondage if we but ask. Satan's very good at his campaign of disinformation. You know, that's a very successful tactic in war. There's a guy at work. He's real slow at work, and he's just so negative. He's convinced himself in 45 days they're going to be closing the doors. And there's guys that try to calm him down. And Otis, well, actually Randy's his name, but we call him Otis. But anyhow, he said, I'm fed up with him. He said, when you see him, tell him the doors are being shut. And I said, what, you think he'll argue the negative? Because he always wants to argue the negative. So I said, what, are you thinking he'll argue the negative? And say, well, no, maybe there's smoke. He said, no, he'll just agree with you. Well, you know, that's sad. There's some people like that, ain't they? But they'll believe anything that's negative. But the Lord has given us His Word, and He's given us the opportunity to express to Himself our wants and our desires. And the more we read His Word, the more our wills and our desires will melt into His. Tommy Russell, a guy I work with, I used to work nights with him. I seen him yesterday on the way. I work days now, and I was leaving. He's coming, and he's got one of those. It's called an Outback GPS system for his tractor. Well, I didn't want to tell him, but I had one before he did. Of course, I went down to S&H and they gave me a free cap that said Outback GPS system. Mine was a hat, but he has a real thing. Now listen, now if you're ignorant, this is really foolish what he did. He spent $1,000 for a GPS to put in his tractor. Now how many farmers do you know that's ever got lost in their tractor? A GPS system is a global positioning system. That's what that stands for. And they say, well, Tommy, don't you know when you're down there in that
Bottom half building. You're in the bottom half building. You can look up and see your house. Look up and see your mama's house. But you know why someone, if they were not ignorant, would say that to him? Would be because they don't realize that it's not something to tell him where he's at, but it is a guidance system. That Tommy obviously knows, just like, I mean, I would love to have one. They're $1,000. But it don't just simply tell you that, yeah, you're in the upper hayfield there. Because I can look and see that. I can look down there and see my ass. But what it does is it guides me. It tells me not only that I'm in the upper hayfield, but right down to an inch. So I can drive across this field and come back and within an inch be right back. I don't know if you've seen them aerials. Sometimes them guys that's got way too much time on their hands will cut in their corn with their combines, will cut pictures, take a seat. They do that with a global positioning system, but it's more than just telling you where you're at. It's a guidance system. The world wants to run from this Bible, God's holy word. You know why? Because it tells them where they're at. They need to see it much more than a GPS, but that it's a guidance system. And just like Jesus Christ said, pick up your bed and follow me, he has told every Christian that's ever bowed his knee and repented of his sin to follow me. God's holy word is more than just to tell us where we're at, but it is to lead us. Let's get some songs sing. To the world, when he sees a Christian trying to live a holy and a separated life, to the world they say, that's silly. You see what he's doing? Don't know where he's at. They don't understand that just like a farmer is not interested in knowing what field he's in, that he wants to know within an inch of right where he is and where he's going. Years ago, especially on that flat ground in Missouri, Illinois, that there was farmers that took pride in how straight their rows of corn was. And that there was, you know, that you realize if you have a four-row corn planter that you need a four-row picker. Or, I mean, you can get away with a two-row. But, I mean, you can't go beyond that. Not on a picker, but on a combine a lot of times, because your spacing will be off on that, you know, every fourth row, because then you're having to... And they would pride themselves on how straight they would get them and how consistent, you know, because after that fourth row, they're all like, say, 30 inches apart, but then you got to run within 30 inches on this next one. And that there was and probably people from town didn't notice this, but other farmers would drive through the countryside and say, look at that field of corn. That's the straightest rows in all the county. You see that? It wouldn't matter. You could run down any row. It would not matter. And we're talking about flat ground where a man got on a tractor, like when I try to cut straight rows in the hayfield. You know, I'll pick out a tree and I'll focus in on that tree. I'll focus on that tree. And I can always see where I'm going. Sometimes on the upper hayfield, I'm focusing on a treetop. And sometimes I swat a fly or hit a bump. And then I'm focusing on that tree. And then as it comes up, it's like, wait a minute, that's not the same tree I was focusing on. I look back, and it's just a little crooked. My dad, when we started farming, he could cut a lot straighter than he can now. But he's always been able to do better than I can. And I can remember raking hay when we first had our terrible, awful rake. And my father, I mean, because it was hooked on the 3 points. You just made a little bit of turn, and the whole thing would swing around there. And we had to rake it into a windrow. We couldn't get it narrow enough because it would start climbing my wheels. So you didn't have no play
You had no play with that baler because the windrow was so wide. Well, then you hit a little bit of bump and it put a crook in that windrow. And Daddy would be frustrated at me and say, make him windrow straight. And I'd be frustrated with him and say, can he follow a windrow? Look, he's leading me in the field. So between the both of us, we done all right. But now, what we got? We got a guidance system. You know, years ago, the Bible says that men did what was right in their own eyes. We preached about that Sunday night, about the fact that, you know, so many people measures themselves by themselves or by their neighbor. I'm a lot better than so-and-so. I can remember there was girls that hung around other girls in school so they could say, I'm skinnier than so-and-so. Or I'm better looking than this one. And that when they were out in town, that if a boy tried to pick them up, they picked them up because their two girlfriends were a lot uglier than they was. And you know what? There's a problem with that, though. That if we're making comparisons, before it's over with, every one of us is filthy. You know, you can put your cleanest pair of pants on in the house, and as long as somebody's doing the laundry, you're going to go out of the house clean, aren't you? But you let somebody stop doing the laundry. You can put your cleanest pair of pants on in the house, but within 2 weeks' time, and a lot of times not even that, depending on how many pair of jeans you've got, you'll go to work filthy. This here, God's holy word, is what will keep us clean. It shows me when Daryl fails. And I have a wonderful advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, and I can come to Him and He can clean me. But just like He did that very first time. And I'm thankful that the Lord's gave me more than just a book to tell me where I was at, but a book that'll guide me throughout my life. People don't come to the Lord because they don't realize they're lost. Just like why on earth would a man need a GPS and his tractor? But we need God's holy word so that we might find our way from where we're at to where we need to be. Thankful that God's Holy Spirit has spoke to each and every one of us that's been born again. It's not that we, through our intellect, found Jesus Christ, but that He searched us out with His Holy Spirit. Then He gave us the means of which we might follow Him through His holy word.